want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m. And if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
yes.
House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the talk and Google Plus.
All right, thank you guys for tuning in again. This is DJ Ambush, and welcome to another episode of Run Up the Numbers. This is a continuation of our series with Community Energy Project. And for this particular episode, I'm very, very happy to be sharing the microphone with members of Energy Trust. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Doing good.
Good. Could you go around and introduce yourselves?
Yeah, it'd be great. My name is Mia Donate, and I'm a community art specialist at Energy Trust of Oregon. And I work alongside Ryan to help connect to community members and deliver our services to those community members out on the field.
Okay.
And I'm Ryan Cruz. I'm a senior program manager, and I work on our residential programs. I've been working with Community Energy Project for several years, as well as a number of other organizations around the state, nonprofit, local, community-based organizations around the state.
Okay. Ryan, I mean, what exactly brought you to this work? I mean, I think we all have a general understanding of how important it is to have, a beneficial relationship with energy. I think right now, a lot of us feel like, on the consumer side of things, I wish there were ways, things that we could do to save money that we spend on energy. But what brought you to this work?
Yeah, I worked at, several jobs early in my career that, just really didn't have a super compelling mission for me. And I kind of just think I got to a point where I really wanted to do something that I could believe in. I'm a big fan of the natural environment. And I think, conserving energy is a really tangible way to sort of contribute to the effort to sort of preserve nature. And so, that kind of keeps me motivated to do this work.
Yeah, on a similar note, I have always loved the environment. And when I was a kid, Energy Trust came to my school and delivered an energy saving kit, which at the time was something we offered that would, you got one in school and you were able to take it home. So I took one home, shared it with my parents. And I was like, put this new faucet head in, do this weather stripping thing, change all the light bulbs, put the sticker on here that says turn off the lights. And that was kind of my initial peek into energy and how I had the power and agency to change our family's energy consumption a little bit. And then I went off to college and studied environmental science and policy and, graduated from college. And I knew that this was a field that interested me. And like Ryan mentioned, it's a very tangible field that we can see the work we're doing and the impact it has. And I remember Energy Trust because, like I mentioned earlier, when I was a little kid, I saw that kit. And so I knew that this is a place that I wanted to work at. And so that's how I made it to the energy field.
So grateful for both of you to be doing this work and, to be passionate about it. And it's not just a job. I will ask you this, though. Being able to be involved in your community here in Portland and in Oregon is really great. And I'm sure there's a level of fulfillment there that can't be matched. What are your concerns, or what are some of the things you would like to see that could happen at the federal level as far as taking things seriously? The climate crisis that we've been in for quite some time, just changing the conversation around that. What are some of the things you would like to see at that level?
Yeah, I think that, the focus of our work recently has really been to try to get everyone involved. And, our programs traditionally have have really appealed to, you know, a certain demographic of people, you know, and people who own their homes, people who have, you know, more money to spend. You know, some of the energy conservation concept or energy efficiency concept has sort of played really well with that crowd. But I think there are other communities where, you know, they just haven't, the resources just haven't reached them the same way, you know? And so I think that there needs to be more concerted effort to try to keep, you know, to get everybody involved, to get everybody kind of caught up, you know, so that, you know, it isn't just the sort of more wealthy homeowners who have efficient homes, but, you know, but everybody is sort of benefiting from the benefits of, from the, you know, kind of work that we do.
Yeah, I'd agree. When I think about energy efficiency and the ability to, you know, improve whatever the relationship is, and then, you know, many different factors, I always think about, can I afford it? You know, it's different, you know, you got the bulbs and different things you can do in the house. I remember, I don't even know how useful this was, but I remember before moving out here, like, you know, middle school, high school, hearing about put a brick in your toilet, reduce the amount of water that you're using in the back part. So I, you know, we hear a bunch of different things, but ultimately when we started hearing about solar technology, it just seemed like this really amazing thing in the future. And honestly, you know, if we were to date it by the Jetsons, we were all supposed to have flying cars by now. But I would assume at this point, we would all be using solar technology. But as you get older, these things are expensive. It's not easy. And if you're renting, what does that relationship look like? So I know you guys are CEP is doing some work with retrofitting homes, Black homeowners. Could you guys speak a little bit about that type of work?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think the work Community Energy Project is doing is exactly the kind of thing I was talking about. And, you know, they're very specifically trying to make some of the things you mentioned, some of those more expensive investments, you know, solar, improved heating systems, you know, weatherization, things that, you know, windows and insulation for your home, things that can have a little bit more of an impact than, you know, putting a brick in your toilet. And I think they're really kind of making those things accessible, you know, and knocking down some of that financial barrier and other barriers as well. I mean, the financial one is an obvious, you know, big one that is obvious, like right up front. There's some other ones too, though, you know, educational barriers or just, you know, information, you know, finding contractors, you know, things like that. You know, they're kind of helping with all of that. And they're very specifically helping, you know, communities of color and people, you know, living on lower incomes. And so, yeah, it's great work.
Could you tell me a little bit more specifically about the work that you guys do at Energy Trust?
Yeah. So for those who may not know Energy Trust, we are a nonprofit that provides expert advice, information, cash incentives, and connections to trusted contractors to help Oregonians get access to our benefits and make their homes healthier and more resilient. And so part of the work we do is on Ryan's side, Ryan helps develop programs, and those programs are made to, you know, serve a community or a set of community members to give them an incentive or to help them, you know, get a heat pump or a different type of energy efficient technology. And we try to connect people on my end. I help connect people out in the field to those programs and try to get them interested to go on their website, energytrust.org, to see what programs are available for them and what cash incentives they could get take advantage of.
Yeah, I think, as Mia mentioned, I spend a lot of my time, you know, thinking about how some of the resources and offers that we create or have at Energy Trust, you know, how to best reach different parts of the community around the state, whether that's, you know, rural communities, communities of color, you know, non-English speaking communities, you know, whoever it may be. what, you know, what tactics and how do we, you know, how do we employ our programs in a way that, you know, that reach those communities and motivate them to take action. And I think, you know, working with organizations like Community Energy Project is sort of a way for us to leverage their expertise in the relationships they have with these communities, you know, the communities they serve directly. You know, we're a fairly small team. We have, I think, about 6 people on the residential team. And, you know, it's, we need experts. You know, we can't be experts in every community in the state. We need help. We need, you know, to partner with these other organizations and, you know, they kind of, we bring some expertise, they bring, you know, an expertise in the communities themselves. And together we kind of find, you know, figure out how to make sure, how to get these resources to people in the, you know, the most effective way.
Could you guys speak to some of the benefits of working with these other organizations? Maybe some of the key things that you may have learned from these collaborations?
Yeah, I think one of the key things I've seen is that there's a perception of, you know, what you think is what people need. And there's what people like who experience these issues, who experience those high bills, who experience not having a home that's sealed well, what they actually experience. And I feel like partnering up really allows us to, you know, break down that like lack of communication or that barrier in our communication to really understand what the community needs. And so I feel like that's one way that I see these relationships really helping us, is they could give us insights to help us serve our community better.
And I think, you know, like I mentioned, just leveraging that expertise and, you know, bringing everybody together, each with kind of a different specialty, it just helps make things work better overall. And, you know, the other thing is kind of related to money. You know, most funding most funding that anyone might have, you know, comes with certain limitations related to how it can be spent, what it could be spent on. There may be certain eligibility, you know, requirements, things like that. And, you know, CEP, for example, has been really great at finding multiple sources of funding so that, you know, each source kind of has a different way it can be used, and collectively all of those sources of funding come together to kind of achieve more than each one, any one of them could have, you know, by itself. I think ultimately it just gives customers more choices, more types of help, and just allows more work, you know, more of this work to happen.
We spent a little bit of time talking about the what, as far as the different initiatives and what these collaborations and partnerships to other organizations look like. Can we talk about the why for a little bit? Why is clean energy and energy efficiency important to our community?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ryan. I'll jump in. You know, I think overall, I just think we need as many, you know, as many Oregonians as possible to be, you know, to be able to live comfortably in their homes, you know, to be healthy in their homes. And, you know, and I think reducing your energy bills can contribute as well to like the financial success that, you know, each household is having. And, you know, the more people who can achieve those things, living comfortably, living healthy, living financially successful, you know, that helps everybody, you know, it helps these individual households, but it collectively helps everybody as well. You know, and so socially, I think, you know, to me, that's kind of what it means. And then, you know, and then there's, of course, this broader environmental effort that we're all part of, you know, to maximize the natural resources that we use and, you know, and to minimize how much of them we have to use.
Definitely. I totally agree with Ryan. And I feel like, especially the, you know, having a comfortable home is such a luxury that, you know, I didn't really grow up thinking about that, like other people had central air conditioning and I didn't, and how much your life and ability to enjoy your home changes when you have these resources at your hand. And so just like giving people the opportunity or the resources to get these energy efficient upgrades, can change the way they feel in their homes, can change, especially in these summer, hot summer months. You know, having air conditioning in your home is saving lives. It's helping people, you know, feel better.
That is real. That is 100% real. I when you grow up with certain, I guess not standards, but grow up in certain circumstances where you're just so used to dealing with the extremes, no matter what it is. You know, in the wintertime, it's cold in the house. We can't afford to have the heat turned up all the way. Put on sweaters, put on hoodies. It is what it is. I remember, I guess, when I started feeling like I was an adult in my early 20s, and I was in my own place. And it was really weird for me to just turn the blast the heat. I was in the house by myself, right? And I'm like, it's cold. Just cut the heat on. And I'm so used to having a certain temperature being in my parents' house. But then I was like, I wonder what it'd feel like to just be able to walk around and just have some shorts on in the winter. And I cut the heat all the way up. And it was amazing. I was like, oh, okay. All right. So to me, that was like, this is adulthood. I can actually touch the thermostat and not be in trouble.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier, like by now we should all be flying around in car, you know, in flying cars. And
right.
You know, maybe that's not reasonable quite yet, but I think being able to like not have to wear a parka in your home during the winter is reasonable. And yeah, that's something we should all be able to do or not do. So things like that.
Yeah, definitely. So this particular project, it's helping 20 Black low-income homeowners in North and Northeast Portland. Members of the Black community and people with lower incomes have been left out of past efforts to upgrade homes. Can we speak a little bit about that and the thoughts behind this particular effort?
Yeah, you know, we've been working with CEP. I started working with Community Energy Project in about 2017 or so. And, you know, we kind of started with a fairly simple project, although at the time it didn't feel simple. In retrospect, it seems simple, but, you know, we wanted to get 30, you know, efficient, top of the line heat pump water heaters into, you know, people with lower incomes homes, at no cost to them. And that was sort of the simple goal we had. And, you know, it took about a year of planning and kind of problem solving. But ultimately, you know, we rolled out the program together and CEP did an amazing job. And within the first year, they got the 30 heat pump water heaters, installed at no cost. And, you know, people loved it. It really helped people. And, you know, since then, the organization has just gotten more ambitious and taken on, you know, more work, like new kinds of new technologies, tried to like grow and broaden their services. And, you know, and now they're at a point where they're doing, you know, they're targeting these 20 homes and they're doing these sort of full retrofits to bring the entire house, you know, kind of up to speed. I think it's really great to watch that happen, you know, over the last few years. And, you know, with that model, we've begun working with other organizations around the state doing very similar things. You know, now we have about 20 other organizations that we work with, that do similar kinds of work. And, you know, Community Energy Project is one of the more advanced, you know, they're a little bit further along than many of the others, but I think, you know, they're kind of paving the way and it's sort of a model for, you know, the kinds of things we'd like to see these other organizations we work with, you know, do over time.
Were there any obstacles early on in trying to, you know, get this work done, you know, having some of these conversations with members of the community?
Yeah, there was a lot of learning that had to happen just, you know, I mean, kind of operationally, and, you know, I'll speak to a little bit, I think, about some of the learnings that CEP had, but, you know, just the idea of like going into someone's home, identifying what they need, and then coordinating a contractor to come out and have that work done. You know, there's a lot to learn in that process. But I think also, you know, from my perspective, one of the early challenges I had was just finding the funding, you know, and We typically don't, to at that point especially, we didn't have a lot of offers that were able to pay the full cost of something. You know, most of our offers paid a portion, you know, 20, 30, 40% of the cost. And that was really, you know, kind of working under the assumption that a customer was going to make a water heater purchase, and we were just helping them get a more efficient water heater. So we were trying to cover that, you know, that extra cost that that might entail. And that's kind of how we had traditionally functioned. And so this was something new where we were trying to pay the full cost, because we knew that these customers we were, you know, trying to work for couldn't, you know, they couldn't afford a new water heater at all. And so that was just a new thing for us. And it took a lot of time to really figure out how to make that happen.
What was some of the initial reception and feedback that you guys got from the community when this work started, when these upgrades started?
Yeah, I'm a little insulated from that. Okay. Mia probably has better stories than I do, but I did hear kind of secondhand, you know, a lot of people just being really happy. I think, you know, I'd heard quotes about someone was saving $30 a month on their bill from just having their water heater improved, and you know, and that adds up. That's a lot, and you know, and I think overall feedback on the heat pump water heaters themselves has been really great. People love them. They work really well. And so if you have an old water heater that doesn't work well and you get this brand new one that does, and you know, that can really just be nice. I mean, it can make your showers far more comfortable, and you don't have to worry about the expense of it all as much. And, you know.
Yeah. I'll speak a little bit on that of, you know, people receptions to, or how people receive and how they feel about these things. And I think that it's, you know, the person who's getting the, you know, heat pump installed or the home retrofitted, like they feel more comfortable in their home. But it doesn't just affect the individual who's getting that, you know, that those services, it's affecting their community as well, because your neighbor is getting a heat pump installed and you hear about it from them. And so then now you know a little bit more about what resources exist, and you learn about Energy Trust and the Community Energy Project. And so now you have an idea of who to connect with to maybe seek a similar opportunity. So I feel like it's not only helping, you know, the individuals who are getting these things installed, but it's also helping raise awareness that these opportunities do exist and where the resources can be found. So I think that that's one of the biggest impacts that I've noticed, is that, you know, these type of projects just help raise overall awareness, and awareness that we have been working hard to get, trying to be in the community, have partnerships in the community, and be able to, you know, feel trust between us and the community members, because, you know, we are Energy Trust of Oregon. So, you know, building trust is, you know, a big focus for us. We want to make sure that our community is listened to, and that we know what community members want, and they know where we are, and can, you know, they can learn about us in a more natural, organic way.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about trust. I mean, of course, it's in the name, but how essential, you know, that is to these relationships. Just having some organization to come in your house and tell you we're going to make all these changes for you, like that takes a degree of trust to be able to open yourself up to any of that. I mean, because of course, as a homeowner, you want to think that you're providing the best that you can, right? And it's, I'm sure for some of them, it could be difficult to hear, hey, there's a bunch of gaps. There's a couple things that you missed that you may not aware of, may not have been aware of. And so you take that personally. Like, I thought I was doing my best. I thought I was, you know, providing the best circumstances for my family. So we spoke about the heat pumps. Are there any other appliances or things that you guys change in the house to make the house more energy efficient? And then after that, could we talk a little bit about retrofitting?
Yeah, the primary thing we focus on first, I guess, is the, you know, heating and cooling systems. They typically use the most energy in a home, you know, somewhere around, you know, 40% of the energy in a home is used is used on simply, you know, heating or cooling the home. And so improving that heating and cooling system is sort of like the big thing that you can do right off the bat. It also is fairly expensive. Aside from that, you know, there's, you know, windows and attic insulation are two really good ones. You know, you can kind of generally tell if your home's feeling kind of drafty, especially in the winter, you feel cold air coming through your windows, or just kind of in the house in general, you know, your home doesn't stay, you get it warm, but it doesn't stay that way very long. You know, those are kind of signs that your windows or your insulation in your attic, especially are not sufficient. And so those are improvements that are, windows are also quite expensive, but insulation is actually fairly affordable. And, you know, our incentives are pretty rich for insulation. So we're able to get the cost of that down quite significantly. And a lot of times it's actually free. So that's a really good place to start. You know, and then aside from that, there's a lot of, so, and water heaters I mentioned. So, you know, those are kind of like the big things. Aside from that, there's a lot of little things, you know, that people can do kind of right off the bat. You know, swapping out your lighting for LED bulbs is a fairly affordable one that actually has a pretty substantial, you know, impact. It'll also make your lighting a lot better and cheaper to run. And there's a lot less heat that comes off the light bulbs during the summer. You know, I put all LEDs in my house, and it's, you know, my favorite benefit, I guess, of it is like not having to change the light bulbs ever because they last so long. And I just, you know, I was so tired of like climbing up ladders to change light bulbs and whatnot. And so now you just can kind of put them in and like forget about it. They'll probably last longer in the house than you do, you know. So that's an easy one.
With regards to retrofitting specifically, what exactly is retrofitting? And how is that different from what we've already discussed?
Yeah, retrofitting is just, I guess we use that word to refer to, you know, a situation where a home, it's kind of an existing home, it has some kind of system or an existing condition, and we are upgrading that existing condition to something new. And so we use the term retrofit to refer to that process. We also work in, you know, the new construction field. And so, as opposed to new construction, where you're sort of building a home from scratch, you're putting something in for the very first time. So I think to me, that's kind of how we use that term.
Okay. Excellent.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. It clears things up. Thank you. how is your organization helping others in the community beyond these 20 homes that are being worked on, helping them benefit from energy programs?
Yeah. So cash incentives are a primary, you know, way that we're able to help community members. So if someone wants to install, like we mentioned earlier, like a heat pump again, we have cash incentives so people can, you know, get, usually we match people up with contractors, and it works out differently for each incentive. Not all of them are this work the same way, but you can get, you know, X amount of money off that bill, that it goes to that contractor. So that contractor is not charging you that amount of money because it's been discounted. And so if you want, you know, to take advantage of something that can reduce the cost of that energy efficient thing. And another thing that I can, other than, you know, cash incentives, is also providing people with resources. We have our website, energytrust.org, has a lot of information around, you know, how you can use low cost, no cost tips on how to save energy in your home. If you're wondering, is my home energy efficiency, you can call our hotline and talk to an energy advisor to see, you know, maybe, you know, my energy consumption could be better. Maybe I could reduce energy costs in my home, and talk to someone who knows all those details and can point you in the right direction. Another thing is we recently launched working together nonprofit grants that are helping nonprofits get energy education information out to, you know, their staff and also community members. So, you know, we know that while we may be energy experts, we are working towards being community experts, and we may, you know, have to work on that. And that's why we want to make sure that we're, you know, partnering with nonprofits, with community based organizations to get to know those communities. And, you know, they are on the ground. They are experts of those communities. So helping, you know, facilitate funding so that those community members can extend the work we do to a larger audience is really important to us.
Can you speak to some of the qualifying factors or some of the ways you guys, some of the methods you guys use to identify the homes that you were going to be working on?
Yeah, one of the most, I guess, handy tools or services that that we've introduced in the last few years is an in-home energy assessment. And so most of, if not all, the organizations I mentioned, there's about almost 20 now organizations like Community Energy Project that we're working with around the state. And I think all of them offer this in-home energy assessment service. And so they'll have a staff member come out to people's homes, take a look around, look at some of the key systems that I kind of mentioned, insulation, water heating systems, and try to identify, you know, what are the key things that could be improved that would have the most impact in the home. And it's a free service. And so I think that's really that, you know, and that information comes back to us as well. And so part of, you know, the primary objective is to inform the homeowner or the tenant, you know, what they can do so that they kind of know, have a roadmap, so to speak. But the information always comes back to us, and it gives us a really great insight into, you know, what each home might need. And then we can kind of in the background kind of work on, you know, the best offer for any given house, and, you know, and helping to identify the best path for that, you know, that person to get what they need, and who is the best to come and install the work, you know, perform the work, which contractor is best to perform the work.
And I can assume, you know, each situation is going to be a unique one. Have there been some where it was just like, yo, you had the assessment, you have an idea of what you're going to be getting into, but then maybe the project, you know, involves additional work that you didn't quite foresee when you first started out?
Yeah, and that's one of the bigger challenges that we're facing now is that, you know, we are really, our mission is related to energy efficiency, and, you know, that is important, of course, but sometimes there are other things that a home needs that are kind of beyond the scope of our mission. And some of, you know, like critical home repairs, if a roof is leaking, or, you know, they have knob and tube wiring that's a fire hazard. And, you know, there's some things that the funding, you know, that our funding isn't necessarily intended for. And so, you know, connecting those, it is challenging to find funding that sort of can be used for some of those kinds of projects. And there are resources out there. And so, you know, ourselves and some of these other organizations we're working with, you know, and especially them are kind of experts at, you know, assessing what are the available funding resources and going out and getting, you know, getting access to that funding so that they can help these customers with those kinds of issues. And, you know, we're trying to support that work the best that we can.
On average, how long do these upgrades usually take?
Depends a little bit on the extent of the work. I think some of the work that Community Energy Project is doing with the 20 homes, they're pretty, it's pretty extensive work in the homes. And so I suspect it'll take them, you know, several weeks or months to get that work completed. If it's just one, you know, one upgrade, like improving just the heating system, you know, typically it's just a matter of a few weeks. Though the, you know, the current economic environment is a little bit challenging. There's some supply issues. There's kind of contractor shortages, you know, so there are some scheduling difficulties, and, you know, and sometimes things are taking, you know, a little longer to get scheduled with contractors. And so That's hopefully temporary, but for the last year or year and a half, that's been a bit of a challenge as well.
You kind of struck a nerve there when you mentioned roofing being an issue. In one of the earlier episodes in this series, I forgot who the guest was at the time, but they spoke to how, you know, heat always finds its way out of the house. And I was thinking about my parents' home back in Philadelphia. They have a three-story, and it's with the fireplace that they barely use, but it's always cold. And one of the things that I remember just being consistent, there's certain leaks in some of the closets on the third floor, but then also we had squirrels because there's this huge tree right next to the house and they would burrow in. So every once in a while, you'd hear them over the windows. And as he was telling me about, you know, the heat always trying to find its way out of the house, I'm like, there are direct like squirrel nests above some of the windows that I know the heat is just flying out of left and right, no matter what we're doing in that house. So thinking about doing energy upgrades, you know, different things that we can do, you know, sealing some of the windows, making sure we have those little foam things at the bottom of the doors, mm-hmm. all that's good. You know, spending money and investing in, you know, water heaters and just changing over the system and making sure you have the right bulbs, all of that stuff's good too. But if at the end of the day, you have some structural issues, you know, whether it's the roof or a wall or your sump pump's not working in the basement, there's just so many different factors to, you know, to look at and different places where your money can just be finding its way right out of the home.
I really think that's where bringing in multiple organizations and having these partnerships really, you know, really helps. You can bring in someone like us who does insulation, or, you know, an organization who does some roof repairs. You can bring in the squirrel mitigation organization, you know, to take care of the squirrels, and everybody kind of has their role. And collectively, you know, you're able to kind of solve, hopefully, you know, the idea is you're coming in and able to solve all the problems that exist and not just putting band-aids on one thing or another, you know.
So in the interest of, you know, getting these homes to a place where they're efficient, you know, there's a lot of repairs that have to happen. How much of this work is after the repairs are done? How much of this work translates into moving them into the future where we're talking about installing maybe solar panels? Is any of that included in this?
Yeah, one of the homes under this project is getting solar panels installed to it, which is really cool to see. And, you know, I feel like it's just really moving them to the future. You know, we don't want to install a heat pump when all of these issues exist and it's not going to save the money that it should be saving, if it's not going to make the house comfortable and healthy like it's expected to. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're not just installing something that's not going to be benefiting the customer. We want it to make sure that these issues are met before we are able to get there, and that we can connect them with the organizations that can fill those gaps. Like Ryan mentioned, that we, you know, we can't always use our funding for certain things. So being able to partner up with organizations to get that work done is really important.
Ryan, you mentioned a particular type of wiring. Was it knob and something?
Knob and tube, yeah.
Okay. Is that, I think I've seen this before where it looks like it's this little like cloth, like the wires, but they're covered in cloth and this hits this little like porcelain knob or tube or something. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, okay. That's exactly it. Yeah. And okay. It's an old way of wiring a home. And so some of the older homes in Portland, if they haven't had upgrades done, might have that. And you may not know, a lot of times, you know, the homeowner or tenant doesn't know until you go up into the attic to try to do something like insulation and you see it up there and you can't, you know, you don't want to put insulation on top of that stuff, you know, that becomes a fire hazard. And so then suddenly you've kind of, as anybody who does like DIY or do it yourself projects knows, as soon as you take something off and see behind it, you sort of opened up, you know, this whole like, domino mess of things that you have to fix. And so, and that happens. And so, you know, that's where having some critical home repair funding is really useful, to address stuff like that.
Okay. Excellent. Yes. I mean, that speaks to some compatibility issues with all of the upgrades and different changes you guys are trying to make to the home. I mean, if it's old wiring and, you know, how efficient is it really going to be to have solar power running through that stuff? Yeah. That's great. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Is there any additional information you'd like to give our listeners? Some good places for them to start on their quest to a more energy efficient existence.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things I'm thinking about in the, you know, hot summer months is like just general tips is just, you know, close your blinds, seal your windows with caulk. Weather stripping is pretty inexpensive. And, you know, if you're interested about, you know, the bigger ticket items, like I mentioned earlier, and I'll keep mentioning, go to energytrust.org. We really, you know, our website is made for different types of customers. So whether you own a commercial building, whether you're a restaurant owner, you're a residential homeowner, you're a renter, there is different avenues for us to help reach you and get you cash incentives or get you the help you need. So going to our website and just being able to find that for yourself, because every situation is a little bit different. You know, there's no size fits all in this type of work. So making sure that people know that our website is there to guide you and help you out a little bit. And if maybe, you know, websites aren't for you, we do have a hotline under the website where you can call and talk to a person and get some, you know, help navigating what you should do next.
Thank you for mentioning renters in that list of people. I'm sure it's including myself. It's a large demographic that thinks that there's pretty not, you know, really anything we can do. In our home, we do not have central heating, so we have standing units with the tubes going to the windows, because the way the windows open, you can't put in regular units. But yeah, I think everyone is finding their own way to navigate these temperatures. Last year was brutal. It wasn't East Coast humidity brutal, but it was still something I wasn't expecting. Yeah, it was still scorching. Thank you both, Mia and Ryan. Thank you so much for your time today. This was great. And listeners, I really, really hope that you learned as much as I did in this episode. I know I say this a lot, and I'm going to continue to say it. Play this for as many people as possible. Share this for as many people as possible. And head over to energytrust.org for any additional information. We'll catch you on the next episode.